Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Okay, folks, it is now or never. We are really going through a lot of stuff, and I know it takes time, and I wish there was just a way to, you know, mind meld with people just so they get it. And but even, you know, a mind meld is not a blink of an eye, right? I mean, even when one looks at a mind meld, you know, in the Star Trek, you know, convention, and, you know, the process of, you know, that Vulcan mind meld, not a convention of states, folks. But anyway, when one looks at that convention or that process, then, you know, you can understand that, you know, it doesn't happen, you know, instantaneously. It's not something that transpires in a flash. In other words, all that data has to be unpacked and then repacked and processed into a person's brain. It's like filling sandbags. I am telling you, it takes time. So we're running out of time, and it's going to take time to save it. If you're waiting to the very last minute, you're a part of the problem. But I believe everybody that listens and listens to this on a regular basis and is getting active, you guys are a part of the solution. And you're actually starting to lean forward in this movement and, you know, becoming the center of the movement in your county and state. Folks, that means that you are the Thomas Jeffersons and the James Madisons and the George Washingtons of today. You offer something unique and different. And because if you look at what all three, those three men that I named, they all offered something unique and their contribution was notable. Everybody's contribution. I mean, clearly I have a bias with James Madison. I have an affinity towards most of the framers, Thomas Jefferson, even John Adams, a guy that I didn't necessarily, you know, like a lot. I still had this admiration for him because he was a leader and he stood up and he did the right things. Now, Alexander Hamilton, he was an opportunist. He was, you know, he contributed somewhat, but he was the one that actually started trying to break and or compromise the system that was created. And I think he, you know, he has to be held accountable for that. And that was the thing that we were kind of going into that bled me into the outgoing message in yesterday's show, you know, that we have the ability now, folks, to hold all these folks accountable. What's holding us up? We've got to step up and do this. So you don't start going after everybody to get justice immediately. What we have to do is we have to force compliance first. You know, it's that triage of first aid, right? Stop the bleeding, start the breathing, and treat for shock. You know, because if you don't stop the bleeding, that person's dead. There's no point in doing anything else. If that person is bleeding out, you have to stop the bleeding or they're dead. Start the breathing. Okay, so in other words, you can run out of blood a lot faster than you can die from a lack of oxygen. That's why stopping the bleeding is logically makes sense. Starting the breathing, that would be the next most critical thing. You got to have oxygen. The third, you treat for shock because shock can kill you as well. And so, especially in a traumatic shock or a traumatic wound or, you know, gunshot or what have you. I mean, what's going on in, even though people should be dying just from shock alone of what our government is doing, but I want you to understand that treating for shock is not the first priority. Or going after this justice and going after, you know, all these little people that, you know, contributed over the course of the last 200 some years, over the life of this republic. I believe history demands that it be accounted for. I believe the truth of history demands this. So there's merit for this, and there's merit for what Douglas V. Gibbs did in his book. Absolutely, he kind of highlighted it, but I think there needs to be, you know, the states actually need to get involved in demanding and drilling down, because if they don't, we'll never learn from our history, because we need to put it into clear context. Who did what and how it was wrong? Even though they thought it was right, it doesn't matter. Washington was right. it doesn't matter how noble the cause is when, you know, somebody usurps authority or violates the authority of the Constitution and delegates or takes upon themselves to do something they have no authority to do. It doesn't matter whether it was a noble intent or a good idea. It's a violation, and we cannot allow. This is how governments fall, is by allowing violations to occur. We're far better off struggling over the language of an amendment than just handing over our liberties to any of our public servants. You have to understand this. Look at where we are today post-pandemic. You can't tell me we're better off. We're not. Look how many people died anyway. And it's been proven that these people were actually helping kill people. Cuomo's under investigation. There's other political servants that are under investigation for actually contributing to the deaths of people under. And by the way, they were targeting a very specific demographic. They were putting this crap into the old folks' homes. You know, the geriatrics clinics and whatever you call those, rehabilitation centers and those types of things, because typically they're geriatrics in there. They did this deliberately, folks, to get those voters from being able to vote in the upcoming elections. Get rid of them because they know who the threat is to the progressive movement. It's these old people that have been around a while because they're smarter. They have experience. They've got wisdom. So anyway, let me just go ahead and go through the obligatories. As you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and this is the only show that goes through the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions, period. And please, if you want to be a part of this movement, and you're ready to actually, if you're looking at ways to capitalize, that's why we want you to look at the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle and actually consider going down the path of creating your own newspaper to tell you the truth for your county and for your state. We need these things because the people need this information. Now, Timber Nation is by far, you know, if you're looking for furniture, if you're looking for American hardwood furniture, by far, I would highly recommend Timber Nation. Got a few of their products. Love their products. And as a matter of fact, my desk is now in their hands. Whether they posted it or not, that's up to them. But what they created for me, and we paid them to do, you know, to do this. And we, you know, it was a custom job, and I dare not tell you what I paid because people go, wow, that's a lot of money. You know, but when you're looking at hardwood furnishings, I'm going to tell you, if you go look at wood furnishings, that is cheap crap. You know, like you could have bought from Sears. You go down to the, you know, your local crap store that sells nothing but made in China stuff. That stuff's not cheap. Yeah, you can buy some really, really cheap looking stuff. But this is solid wood and it's beautiful hardwood. Unlike that, you know, and I tell you, what is that, Wayfair? There's some of these websites that have, you know, some pretty expensive desks and so forth. And yeah, they have drawers and other things. They may be contemporary. Actually, you know, I consider my desk a very contemporary desk because it's open. You'll notice that there's no drawers. I didn't look for drawers. I just actually looked at getting containers. Actually, that was my wife's idea, to go with the containers and to just have multiple containers to put stuff in. And so everything's kind of compartmentalized, and it's worked out great. But my point is, go check out TimberNation.com if you're looking to get good quality hardwood furnishing for yourself for Christmas. Now's the time. Get your Christmas orders in now because everything they do is handmade. And so they don't start on your stuff. It's kind of like Jack in the Box. They don't supposedly cook your order until you actually get there and order it. Now, we know that they actually do have food sitting aside, but I think it's assembly doesn't occur until you get there. But anyway, with Timber Nation, they will not, and they have not, made your furnishings that you desire and need until you've ordered it and paid for it. And you will not regret it. So anyway, Let us also point out that when we look at Gary Smith and Fortitude Financial Coaching, there is no better mechanism out there in helping you basically get your arms around your finances and take your finances seriously and program and prepare yourself to become successful, be able to fund yourself and be able to get yourself out of debt and be able to become the success, financial success that you need to be. Anyway, Fortitude Financial Coaching, go contact Gary Smith, and I'm telling you, you will be on your way to making, you know, to taking full control and having full autonomy and no longer dependent upon banks and so forth. If you do things right, and if I think you can, there's no doubt in my mind, you can do this. Anyway, we've got our call in line, 425-270-5416. That is for you. If you've got a comment, you got a question, give us a call. Believe it or not, I actually listen, and we actually, you know, we'll go through these things. I may be busy, and you may not get to it immediately, but give me a day or two. Give me a day or two. Chances are we got your call, and we will be calling you back. Anyway, let's dive into kind of where we left off, because where we left off, I had just kind of gone through the Constitution, and I helped define what George Nicholas stated during the ratification debates, that a treaty cannot undermine the Constitution or the spirit of the Constitution, that a treaty must be within the enumerated powers. It must be within the authority and the jurisdiction of that federal government. This is why understanding and definitizing the Constitution is so critical. And so we're going into break now, which is a good thing, because that means that, you know, we're still alive and moving forward. That means that we haven't fallen into the abyss. So let's get into the Amendment Protection Clause, because that's the next step. Because if we want to understand the truth of the 17th Amendment, we have to understand this one provision in the 17th Amendment. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so one of the things is, before we actually move into the 17th Amendment, I'm remiss in not talking about, because the urgency is there for the South Dakota primary coming up. And Tony Randolph does actually have a mechanism. I didn't realize this, and so I've just been a little too dense because I'm too focused on too many other things. But if you want to contribute to his campaign, he does have an online contribution. It's called politics.raisethemoney.com.
and just look up Randolph, R-A-N-D-O-L-P-H, for SD35. So it's F-O-R, SD for South Dakota. 35 is the district that he's running for. And so that way you can actually go and look at this, you know, this concept of, you know, contributions, or that you can make personal contributions. And so what we want to do, because all of this, you know, kind of goes in line with, if believe it or not, this has a lot to do with what I was talking about earlier regarding how the 17th Amendment has kind of gone down this path of, you know, bypassing republicanism or bypassing our representative government in a very, very perverse way. But anyway, so let me get into the Amendment Protection Clause, because for us to understand the truth about the 17th Amendment, we really need to understand this one other little facet in the Constitution that actually made it hard to impossible for states to be subjugated by any changes without their permission. And I'll get into this. Article 5 of the Constitution obviously is the process of how the Constitution can be legitimately changed in granting the federal government or the general government any new role, responsibility, power, or property. And therefore, so if you want them to have parks and recreation, national parks, then we have to amend the Constitution to do that. So that would grant them the specific property as well as the roles and responsibilities that would go with that. If you want to give them the power to, you know, take control of the family, you know, then and create a department of babysitting, then that would require an amendment. And that way, the appropriate roles and responsibilities and power will be reflected in the Constitution in that amendment. So I'm doing this to give you examples of how property is enumerated within the Constitution. And right now, they can't come along and say, well, you know, we need to do this because this is important, like this environmental protection or what have you. It is far better for a few to suffer while we wait to follow the process than it is to allow our liberties to be subject to the trampling and the destruction of government, by the hands of government. In other words, we should not be allowing our liberties at any point in time. I know that somebody may die, but it's not that important. I know life is precious, but it's not important for them to be able to destroy everybody. It's better that a few people, I mean, if the problem is really real and it's really, you know, a legitimate issue, we will amend the Constitution and we'll probably do it with post haste. But don't let them assume unconstitutional roles, responsibility, powers, or property, period. That's how they get you, if you're familiar with that term. Anyway, so here is how the Constitution, or the 17th Amendment, actually violates the Constitution by this Amendment Protection Clause. And this is what it says. This is in Article 5. Provided that no amendment which shall be made prior to the year 1808 shall in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses in the ninth section of the first article, and that no state shall, without its consent, shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. So in other words, if they created a 17th Amendment and a state out there did not ratify or accept the 17th Amendment, then they actually do not have to follow the 17th Amendment. There are seven states, my friends, that actually did not ratify the 17th Amendment. So we're going to give you an article that'll go through a lot of the history of what, why, and how. But we do have a petition that accompanies this. But before we get into that petition, let's really talk about what does this mean, this equal suffrage? Well, the people have their suffrage in the House of Representatives. In other words, you have a representative that votes for your interest as in accordance with the Constitution. In other words, they can't just willy-nilly make up things and make up powers. But when it comes to declaring war and things that are of interest to you, for the House of Representatives, then your representative will vote and they will have suffrage on your behalf. Just like you were going to the polls and voting, I don't want to go to war. The Senate actually has the suffrage for the states. So to be very clear, do not misinterpret what this suffrage means. This is not suffrage in a general term. This is specific suffrage. The voting for the state legislatures on issues, whether they be appointments for the Supreme Court, whether they be issues on, you know, appointments for the executive branch, whether they be treaties, whether they be laws. The state legislature should be able to protect you and their states from federal tyranny. And so the Senate is to respond to them and vote for them, right? And when we realize that our representative is not voting the way we want, then we get rid of them. But what do we do when they're doing things that they shouldn't even be doing in the first place? They have no authority to do these things in the first place. What do? Folks, it's really easy. We have to go after them. We have to use the Constitution and not just vote for them, but we need to get there. And how do we get there to where we can actually get the Constitution to work in our favor? How do we get empowered by government to hold them accountable more readily? I'm telling you what, public servants are going to do everything they can to obstruct you from being able to hold them accountable in the first place. They want to be above the law, and they love being above the law. Wouldn't you? Now, let me ask you this. Think about this. If you could drive to work, if you could go through a store because your time is way too important. And it's not like you're a bad person, but you're doing such good things. You should be able to go to a grocery store, just fill your cart up, and they should just, you know, you should be able to just take that straight out to your car and not have to pay for it because you don't have the time. And, you know, you may not have the cash on you, but it's not like, you know, that's important. What's important is that you go and do good things, right? Or you're going to work, right? You've got to get to work and you need to speed. Because, you know, you're behind or, you know, because some stupid idiots cut you off or block traffic or what have you, and you need to make up some time, it's okay to speed. You don't get the tickets. You know, they see that you, Mr. or Mrs. Good-Natured American Patriot, and, you know, you're above the law. That's okay, you know, because we know you're a good person. So go ahead and get away with, you know, these legal violations, or traffic violations, what have you, right? Because let me ask you now, if all of a sudden that became your paradigm, you'd really believe you're better than everybody. Now, let me ask you this. If you listen to the ratification debates coming up, I'm going to go through in the Massachusetts debates exactly how the, you know, Congress is not allowed to actually immune themselves from the same tyranny that they dole out upon us. Well, based on that definition, you know, anything and everything that they've done, that they've immune themselves for, they should be just beaten and keel hauled. The image of keel hauling a congressperson, you know, kind of funny. But anyway, I just want you to start thinking about how corrupt and how despotic you could become when you really believe you're above the law. And, you know, state representatives are kind of above the law, but Congress, they're really above the law. You know, unless they happen to be going against the hand that feeds them. If you bite the hand that feeds them, instantly the pedophile pictures will come out instantly. You know, all of your egregious sins, because they're spying on you. They're basically looking for ways they can control you. Because if you're not controllable, you're dangerous. This is why Paul Venable is dangerous. This is why Tony Randolph, constitutionalists, are dangerous, because they can't be controlled. You know what? I'd readily step down from public service. I'd readily step down from this microphone. I'd readily step down if it was proven that I was just a contemptuous or, you know, a corrupt, contentious person that was, you know, a hypocrite in every facet and every way. You know, I may have my faults. Everybody does. And you know what? I don't even fault a person, and I wouldn't say just because this person, you know, went adulterer, I wouldn't demand that that person step down, because we all struggle with those types of temptations, and this person succumbed. What's more important is if that person is contrite, that person turns, I mean, if that person says, I have a right to, you know, have as many wives as I want, to have any, you know, or have any, you know, moral purpose, I mean, it, you know what I'm saying? Then that's a different thing. But when a person, you know, they just, for whatever reason, I don't even want to go down that path of even judge them, nor do I want to give them a pass. I just say that, you know, how are they doing in their job? Because personally, they may really suck. They may be a bad husband. They may be a bad dad or mom. You know, they may not be the most loving person. I know I'm not. I know my kids suffered because I wasn't a nurturer. I mean, I wasn't abusive. I didn't, you know, destroy their bodies by beating them. I mean, you know, kids will tell some stories, but there's no evidence. And it's all, it's kind of interesting. And I say that because I remember one time I did to punish, you know, one of my children. They thought I threw them through the wall, and that didn't happen at all. But that's just because their little eyes, their little mind, as they tried to remember those things that, you know, so faint to them, they just aggrandize them. I'm this terrible person, or you're this terrible person. And it's not the truth. Anyway, let me get back to what we're really talking about in this Amendment Protection Clause right after this. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so, you know, we, regardless of where people fall out, that's really between them and the Lord. It's between them and their, you know, religious way leaders, their spiritual advisors, them and the Spirit. I mean, let's not try, I mean, as Madison stated, if men were angels, or, you know, if men were angels, we wouldn't need government and constraints on government. But we're not angels. But we can't think, you know, we can't necessarily allow evil people. And that's why that's the whole process of what we're trying to do is make sure that people, at least regardless of where they fall, you know, in that spectrum of, you know, Christ-like or Satan-like. Because remember, if being Christ-like is that defined line right there that, you know, that little, that clarity in point that is basically helping us see, you know, that people have a right to choose for themselves. They have these inalienable rights and that people cannot be compelled into salvation. You know, that concept. This is why we go through the scale of liberty before we go into the ratification phase. So, putting this into perspective, because I've gone down this rat hole, and there's no real easy way, and I don't want to just stop talking about it, because I think these things are really important. We cannot be a scorched earth people. We have to, you know, be willing to, you know, have some tolerance. We have to understand those who we just can't tolerate, those who actually are far enough down that line of this, you know, subjugation in believing that people must be, you know, compelled or dead. Those people do not belong in America. They do not belong to live on the soil that, you know, allows liberty to flow. You know, that government be closest to the people, that the people have the most control, and the sovereigns, the people, and the sub-elements of government maintain checks and balances and control and accountability of their government and their public servants, even of themselves. So anyway, as we backpedal out, you know, we're going to find people that are going to be making mistakes. And no, they shouldn't be in public office. If they have done things that, whether they knew it or not, they've done things, then what we need to do is we absolutely need to go down the path of holding them accountable. I guess that's the best way to put it. So that when we look at, you know, these folks out there that have, you know, done these, you know, atrocious things, like your governor violating your oath of office, not even challenging whether they can do that. They really believe they're above the law. Folks, they can't be public servants anymore, and they shouldn't be able to vote anymore either. They should not have the privileges. Now, do they deserve to be shipped out and exported into a communist state? I don't know. I leave that to you, the common law legal system that needs to rectify. And I believe common law will heal this country as we start applying these basic principles, really. And we have the ability to actually start embracing those people who were once our enemies. You know, once they act, because if they're good people, they'll become contrite. They'll say, thank you so much for not killing me, you know, I was so bad. I mean, these people realize, you know, just how bad they really were, and they're so contrite. They're, you know, I can honestly see common law as the mechanism of healing this nation, as long as we begin and initiate this process of restoring common law, restoring our government, and so forth. But anyway, back to this 17th Amendment, right? And so back to this. This thing that we're kind of covering. One of the things I want to kind of point out, and I actually saw this when I looked at Tony's website, because we've talked about this, and we're going to get into, because we've talked about corporations and we've talked about making elections local. This is by state law that has been injected into the contributions. And so what does this have to do with the Senate? Well, remember we were talking about the 17th Amendment and how the corporations and the banks, you know, they're the ones that have suffrage now in the Senate. Well, let's look at the state laws. And you start looking at the state laws, you're going to start realizing there's this one little clause that you're going to run across. You go, oh my gosh, he's right. Let me just say this. This is all about contributions, who can contribute, okay? So maximum contributions for individuals is $4,000 per candidate per year. There is no limitation on contributions by political action committees. Corporations and labor organizations are prohibited from donating, but they can actually create PACs. So in other words, it forces corporations and, you know, labor organizations and everything else to create PACs so that they can actually and legally get away with contributing and seizing full control of your political process, of the elections. Okay, so state laws requires that we collect and report name, address, occupation, and employer of each contributor. Contributions from foreign nationals are prohibited by law, and yet Obama received millions of dollars from foreign nationals in the 2012 election. This was proven. It's all, you know, all these things are being proven, how they're violating it. They create these laws, and only the law-abiding conservatives abide by these. Donations are not deductible as charitable donations for federal income purposes, all right? So they got to tell you that, okay? But here's the thing on the legislative side. Maximum contributions for individuals is $1,000 per candidate per year, right? So for legislative, for statewide, it's $4,000. So if you're looking to contribute to Tony Randolph's campaign, you can only contribute up to $1,000. There is no limit on contributions by political action committees, again. And corporations and labor actions are prohibited from donating. State law requires that we collect and report all these things, and donations are not deductible. I mean, so the whole point here, folks, is that you are constrained. You're constrained to only being able to contribute, you know, $1,000 to the person that represents you. But the corporation, Walmart over here, can pump millions of dollars to remove your good man, your good woman, your good representative, your good senator. Who is in control of our Senate? Why do Senate races now cost hundreds of millions of dollars to billions of dollars? When you look at the amalgamation or the money that pours into every Senate race, all the individual Senate races, and you add them all up, and I'm just not talking about the, you know, the Republican that wins. I'm talking about all sides, because the only time we really garner the information, most people go, well, this person spent this much money to win. Okay, but that doesn't tell you how much other money was poured into the other races. When we look at how much money is being poured into these races, government is buying, is being bought by corporations and other nations. Chinese Communist Party, the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, is involved in contributing, just like Soros, in contributing via PACs and businesses. So a corporation, an international corporation, what it says right here, that foreign nationals are prohibited by law. But what about a corporation that's international? Well, they have this little presence in the United States, and now they can funnel all this money in. Folks, America is up for sale, and what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Your Senate is up for sale. What are you going to do about it? And the problem is that if you don't know that Paul Venable is running for U.S. Senate in Missouri, because he doesn't want the corporations to be able to contribute to him, regardless of whether they're good or not. That's his call. And as a matter of fact, I think he's putting it out on his website, exactly what his call is. So you need to look at what his position is. And I understand his position. I would love to see corporations pour billions of dollars with, you know, without the expectation into his campaign, without the expectation of any favors that they're trying to buy him or have access to him, that they just believe in him and they believe that he, you know, in supporting the Constitution is the best thing. But every corporation right now today is working, and they're all working, regardless of how patriotic you think they are. If they're involved in PACs, then they are involved in buying government and actually trying to pervert our American republicanism form of government. It's that simple. So the petition, one of the petitions we need to have, and this is basically regarding the 17th Amendment. The 17th Amendment must be removed, or actually the 17th Amendment removed an important check. So actually we're kind of going through this, and I forgot to mention, you know, if you look again, let me kind of encapsulate or summarize, actually. What I want to do is summarize. Remember I stated that the 17th Amendment granted no new role, power, or responsibility or property to the federal government or to the Senate, period. And it didn't take anything away from the states and the states' position to ratify amendments or what have you. All it did was it shifted this who they account to, which made it simpler for banks to be able to come in and corporations to come in with big, big pockets and buy these people to corrupt them. Anybody and everybody that is running for government And, you know, because there's a gentleman, I forget his name, because I was talking to Paul Venable about a supposedly a really good constitutional representative who's now running for Congress. And he's kind of being silent regarding his positions on whether he's going to become a part of the swamp or not. I mean, of course, he's telling you he won't be a part of the swamp. But if he's taking corporate money, how's he not going to be a part of the swamp? If he doesn't have an agenda that is actually out to hold public servants and government accountable and making it accessible for you. In other words, you know, making it easier for you and I to hold him and every public servant accountable, then he's got the elitist mentality. That's why I was telling you about these people that believe they're above the law. They want to be above, they want to be like princes. They want to create their own monarchies so that they have a chance to be honored and actually worshiped. We'll be right back after these two promos. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so before I actually go down this path of giving you these, well, I'll just say these recommended petitions and so forth, I want to encapsulate, because I kind of skipped over this because I got a little caught up in, you know, going back to the corporations thing. When we really look at the fifth article of the Constitution, it clearly states that we have this limitation that the states cannot be forced out of or lose their representation or their suffrage. Their ability to have representative votes for them in the Senate. You'll notice that the 17th Amendment really doesn't grant, you know, it's not about new powers. What it has done is it perverted the paradigm. It removed the accountability of senators to their state legislature, thus ignoring the important checks and balance in Congress as well as in your state legislature. And so what they're doing is when your legislators in Congress or your legislature pander to the whims of the people, then what they're doing is unconstitutional, especially if that pandering to the public is over matters and issues not delegated. In other words, I'm going to give you health care. I'm going to give you these. If those powers don't exist, then the fact that they went out and did that and created a bill like Obamacare, that's an outright violation. Obama basically committed an insurrection against the Constitution and should be held accountable and charged with treason. He should be impeached. There's lots of things he needs to be impeached on. Come on, folks. Here I was just talking out of one side of my mouth that there are people that, you know, didn't know. But you can't tell me that Obama didn't know. I mean, here's a guy that used to teach constitutional studies, or, you know, he was the constitutional law professor at Chicago University. Come on. This guy understood. If not, it doesn't matter. He took an oath. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. And he actually exploited the fact that everybody else was ignorant, and he actually got away with speaking and spewing all of these, literally, these lies about our Constitution to a bunch of people to help promote the things that he wanted to do in destroying this nation. That's really where we are. That's really what's happened here. But the fact of the matter is that when we really look at who gained suffrage, because we realize the state legislatures no longer have any suffrage in the Senate. So who gained that suffrage? Folks, it's the corporations. It is the banks. It is those with the deep pockets. It's the globalists that have been able to buy your government. And they're doing this, and they've actually done this in your state as well, by taking away your Senate from representing the counties, by moving everything towards democracy. We're losing the precious checks and balances of American republicanism and bicameral legislative bodies. The brilliance of the divine hand of providence in basically helping us protect ourselves from ourselves. So let me get back down to, because I started going down through this petition. The 17th Amendment may have done some things, and it may not have done at all, you know, granting any new powers or what have you. But what it did do is it perverted the system, and it created the inability for the states to actually hold these people accountable. So what we have to do is, even though, you know, we can go down a path of amending the Constitution that basically demands that the state legislatures have the ability to remove any senator who fails to acknowledge their duty and responsibility in granting the state that suffrage in the Senate. Even though they're being elected differently, the simplest way to get back is this: that we absolutely have this perversion of the Constitution of American republicanism. And in concert with Delaware's formal change. Now, you need to read this article, because in this document that I have, I've got this article that will give you the ins and outs of what it takes to rescind this constitutional amendment. In other words, we don't have to repeal it by amendment like we did with prohibition. That had to be repealed because there weren't states that actually, you know, rejected it and then came back along and accepted it. What did happen, based on Delaware rejected it. They formally rejected the Constitution. And under Biden's idiocy, because I'm telling you, this door is another gift from heaven, because Biden was an idiot. He didn't know what he was doing. He actually went and convinced, while he was in the vice presidency, the Delaware legislature thought, well, you know what? Let's formally rescind our rejection of the 17th Amendment. And let's actually ratify it. We'll change our position completely on the 17th Amendment. And how long ago? It was almost a century later. They ratified it. Actually, they rejected it in 1913. And then they ratified it in 2010. That's when Biden was in office. And as a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, Biden kind of made a comment as he was learning for the first time about the 17th Amendment. And he was appalled with this fact that Delaware actually rejected it. What kind of good progressive state would do that? You know, Delaware, when it comes down to some of the politics, you know, that was the one thing, the 1913 rejection, that was the one smart thing that I can think of that they really did. But I can tell you, they've done some really stupid things. And those stupid things, they're big. They're big mamas. Anyway, I'm just telling you, they are monumental in mistakes like the 17th Amendment. Because if you think about it, we opened the door for all states to change their positions. Well, people go, well, how's that? How is that? When one state is offered the ability to change their position formally, and it is reflected formally because the federal government accepted their changing the position. See, it was one thing for them to go through this and go through the motions. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you do the research real quick, you will find that the federal government does count the 2010 change of their position and ratification as a count in the ratification process for the 17th Amendment. So when they open the door to allow a state to change their positions formally, then they have to do that and allow that for every state, which means that all the states that want to reject the 17th Amendment, they can. And we can reject our way out of ratification because all we need right now, because there's seven states, there are seven states. All we need are six more states, my friends, to actually ratify this. So I'm going to say this just as a highlight. When we start going into republic review in several states, one of the first things we want these state legislatures to do to send a clear message to Congress, both the House of Representatives and the Senate, we want them to take or make legislative measures that will basically be a shot across their bow. It'll be their wake-up call to say, you know what? You'd better get into compliance really quick because we're going to be coming at you swifter than a swift boat. And that goes to the Kerry campaign. Anyway, you know, speaking of the Senate, right? So anyway, the petition that we really need to do is we really need to demand. We need to start demanding in your red states. This is really more applicable for a red state. But if you're in a red county, it doesn't matter. You have the ability to start the dialogue and to start this conversation. So you have to read this article, and it's on our constitutional articles page regarding rescinding the 17th Amendment. You'll get it. You'll understand. And so this is where we now go down, and you can use that information, and we'll use it into a petition where you in your red counties can demand your county commissioners or supervisors, whoever are your county legislators, get them up to your state house and demand that they actually start the measures in rescinding the ratification of the 17th Amendment if you live in a state that actually ratified it. Now, you got to go through that article because it identifies what states did not ratify it. And if they didn't, then your demand needs to shift and say, because you did not ratify this, you are not required to acknowledge and follow the 17th Amendment. So stop doing it. Clearly, Article 5 basically protects our suffrage in the Senate, because you did not give your consent. The consent is by ratifying. We can now withdraw that, and every state will be able to restore their suffrage in the Senate. I mean, this is a big thing, folks. You have to understand, you know, when we talk about solutions, we're not mealy-mouthed here about, oh, well, you got to go out and homeschool, and oh, if you do, buy our curriculum. What we're talking about here are tangible solutions that will actually deliver for you what we'll basically lay out as, you know, the path forward in restoring our constitutional republic and putting it back on the course that the divine hand of providence intended for us. We'll be where we need to be when it's But we'll be where we need to be as we get closer and closer to the time when all heck breaks loose and, you know, we're in the final throes of his coming. But it's now or never, folks. I can't impress upon you enough. It's now or never. So what we're going to do next, that was the 53rd petition, by the way. So what we're going to cover next are religious tests, because we've only got a few seconds, literally. I'm going to hear the music and ending today's show. There we go. So what we're going to cover next are religious tests and, you know, how evil religious tests are. you know, yours truly kind of gets out there. And I talk about religion, doctrine, and so forth. But we need to place this into context and why this is so important. And we will do that in our next episode. So I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.